Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin has sent a letter to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton asking her to address the discrimination in the State Department's policy regarding gay employees' partner and spouse's benefits. This is a crucial issue in the quest of LGBT civil rights in America. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm terrific.
Great. How does the State Department's current policy discriminate against partners and spouses of gay State Department officials?
It treats married spouses of Foreign Service officers different than it does the same-sex partners of Foreign Service officers, even though they may be in a long, long-term committed relationship of greater duration than their straight counterparts. And the ways in which the policies differ are quite substantial. Everything from travel orders, which are the sort of way that you get to your overseas posting and evacuate from an overseas posting if there's an emergency requiring that. Things like access to training, access to language training, safety classes, areas which are very, very helpful for preparation for an overseas posting. Issues like having access to the medical services that are available in an overseas embassy for embassy employees and their families. If you're not considered immediate family, you would not have access to those medical services. And so the list is quite extensive. We try to cover it fairly thoroughly in our letter to Secretary of State Clinton. And are very hopeful that given the change that she brings and that President Obama brings, that we might be able to see an update of these policies in the near future.
Would this cover travel for your own partner?
Well, it would not, because this relates to State Department employees. And, of course, I have to deal with the legislative branch. But that is an issue that I have encountered and frankly, am very up to speed on, if you will. In Congress, we have, there are certain official trips where members are allowed to bring their spouses, and oftentimes those trips are worked through the Pentagon. In other words, it is the Air Force or another branch of the services that provide the transportation, whether it be ground transportation or air transportation. And we have found in my own experience, as I have tried to bring my partner on official travel, when my straight colleagues are bringing their spouses, we've encountered difficulties. Now, we've been able to overcome them, but it is in a non-precedent-setting way, and so we have to do a little bit work on the House side, too, and the Senate side. That is not a part of this letter. This letter is really addressing the needs of dedicated members of our Foreign Service who often expose themselves to great sacrifice and risk in serving their country overseas.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this letter to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Well, it is a bipartisan, bicameral letter. We have signatures on both houses of Congress and both parties. And really, we go through all of the policies that she would be able to change that don't require congressional action. I mean, many policies in federal government would require an act of Congress to address in terms of righting the inequities that exist right now. But in this particular case, we believe that the Secretary of State has the authority to make these policy changes on her own.
What kind of a timeline are you hoping for?
Well, we would like to see this addressed as soon as possible. We understand that she's just been confirmed. She has a lot of things that are immediately on her plate, including world crises to deal with, and we understand that. But we hope that as she looks at workforce issues with regard to the employees at the State Department, that this will be a priority. And I would add that part of my anxiousness comes from the fact that we tried mightily to get this issue addressed by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice before she left, and there were repeated letters back and forth. And it was frustrating. We made one small amount of progress on one issue, which is letting same-sex partners attend safety classes before they are sent to a posting overseas. But we made no progress, unfortunately, on many other issues, whether it's travel orders or other types of classes and and preparation for overseas posting, the medical access issue, the emergency evacuation issue, visa support, which is, you know, if you are going to try to seek employment while you're in a posting overseas, accommodations are made for spouses of married Foreign Service officers, but again, not for same-sex partners of gay or lesbian Foreign Service officers.
Do you think that if we can get Washington in order on this issue, we can then work on achieving national LGBT equality?
Well, I think that we move forward with the whole host of issues and injustices that we've identified at the same time. Some of these issues are going to move faster than others. For example, members of Congress are very familiar with some of the key issues that have been pushed by the LGBT community over the past many years, familiarity with issues like the Matthew Shepard's Hate Crimes Act, and since last session, a much greater familiarity with the employment discrimination that people in the LGBT community experience. I think some of those issues and hate crimes will move more rapidly than others. I'll be introducing the Domestic Partnership Benefit and Obligations Act, which would give domestic partnership benefits and subject couples to obligations if they are federal employees. This would be a great complement to the things that we're asking Secretary Clinton to consider, but obviously require congressional action. And my hope in introducing it yet again this session is that it can advance further than it ever has before, ideally be signed into law, but at a minimum, get a greater share of hearings in both houses and advance further than it has in past.
Since Obama has taken office, do you feel a significant change in Washington?
I do. On so many levels, we feel so inspired by his leadership. He ran an outstanding campaign, a nearly flawless transition, and I think there's this incredible hope that engulfs Washington and, frankly, the entire nation right now. As I say that, though, I realize that our nation is going through some of the worst times we've experienced in a century. And I don't think it's trite to say, you know, these are the best of times, these are the worst of times. This is really a moment in which we find ourselves in with hopefulness and clear direction of change, and yet facing some of the most foreboding economic and other conditions that we've seen in our lifetimes.
What's your opinion of President Obama's current bailout legislation?
The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, I think, is essential. And when we see the job loss that we've seen throughout the nation, and I know in my own home state and in the district that I represent, the numbers are frightening. I have two communities that are in double-digit unemployment numbers. This Recovery and Reinvestment Act really does three things that I think are so critical. First, safety net services for those who are unemployed right now, unable to bring home income for their families. It is essential that we extend unemployment insurance, that we provide food stamps, home heating assistance, and things that people need absolutely to make ends meet and to survive in this moment. Secondly, the investment in jobs now, in projects, whether they be construction and infrastructure projects or health or education projects, things that employ people right away, people who've been laid off can get back to work very promptly. But the third strategy then is to lay the foundation for future growth. And if you look at what is America's hope for the future in terms of economic growth, I think all minds agree that it's in a new green economy. It's in finding energy efficiency and decreasing our dependence on foreign petroleum. And the foundation for that future economic growth is begun to be laid in this bill. I think it's essential that we pass it quickly. Otherwise, the situation's only going to get worse for American citizens.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speaking to us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Okay. Take care now.
All righty.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.